bring it up.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'll make it. While the borough clerk's out, I'm going to make a clarify one thing. During the presentation, there will be no comments from the audience. I know this is a very heated subject at this time among some people, many of the people, and I will not allow comments from the audience.
Mayor, do you want to call Ms. Green up?
Well, you want to start or wait for it?
Wait till
you're going to wait for the
attorney gets back with that item.
Oh, okay.
I have binders for all of you if I can press those out.
If you would present them to the borough clerk. Or...
And then I have ones for Julie, David, and Mark as well. I'll just leave them with her so we can consult them later.
Do we have a copy? Do you have a copy for us?
I do not, but I'm assuming they'll probably share it with you guys.
Can you go ahead and make one copy for me?
If you want to take one.
Sure.
I'd just like to comment on that. If you have any materials that you want for the assembly to see, you should present them to the borough clerk to be passed out ahead of time so we can go through them before we come to this meeting.
Well, I'm going to be walking you through them, so we'll be doing that together tonight.
Is there one that's marked for Ms. Decker?
Oh, yeah, you can take that one.
Yeah, let me just see.
I may need more water.
We're going to go ahead and take a recess at 6:35 p.m. until the borough manager gets back.
Is it possible to crack the window in here?
Back on the record at 6:47. Go ahead and put your presentation.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, I'm Serena Green. I'm Associate General Counsel for IBW Local 1547. I just wanted to give you guys some background about me first, so you know who you're talking with. I was born and raised in Alaska. I was born in a small fishing town, grew up in Anchorage. My mother-in-law is from Wrangell. She's actually going to be here for a 50th high school reunion for 4th of July weekend. And prior to joining the IBW, I was a municipal attorney. I represented several small communities around Alaska, so I understand the struggles that the community is facing here. So I just wanted to give you guys some background. As you guys know, this has been a very long process. We've been in negotiations for over 3 years, I believe. And as Mr. Blasco had explained, you know, as part of this process in getting here, there was a lawsuit. We've agreed that the IBW would be allowed to present its last best offer if we reach impasse, which we have, to propose, show you, or discuss our last best offer, explain it to you, and the management has agreed to take a neutral position, which means they will not advocate against our proposal and for their proposal. It means that they can answer factual questions, which, you know, I promise not to wave my arms up and down. I will use my voice instead if I have an objection. But if there's factual questions about what the budget issues are, I'm sure we can walk through those. So one thing I have to note, though, is that, you know, the IBW originally tried to come here in April to speak with you guys, but we were told no and had scheduled this date because it was a date that would work for all assembly members. And I see that three of the seven are missing tonight. So I'm hoping that they'll have an opportunity to review our last best proposal at some point. Just wanted to note that. So tonight, I'm going to first walk you through our last best offer. Then I'm going to talk about trends in wages in Wrangell and other small communities. And then I'm going to talk to you about the inconsistencies in wage increases for non-bargaining unit employees at the borough compared to the representative employees. So first, the IBW proposal, if you turn to tab one, and sorry for the makeshift hole punch. We did send our offer this morning when I was at the airport getting ready to board. We did receive a last best offer from the borough management last night and had a limited time to be able to come up with a response, but I think we did that, and I typed up real quickly a summary of what our proposal is. And then behind that, the second page, you'll see it's our, this is an outline of all the tentatively agreed to provisions between the parties. And what I mean by tentatively agreed to means that the borough management and the IBW have come to an agreement on the terms.
Say that again.
It's the tentatively agreed to provisions, which means that the borough and the IBW have not, they've come to an agreement on these changes. So these are not at issue.
In tab one, you're saying?
In tab one on page two. Tab one, first page, is a summary of the IBW's last best offer, the parts where we're in half agreement, half disagreement. Second page through, I think it's page four, identifies the changes. And if you look at tab two, this is the tentatively agreed to collective bargaining agreement. So it will show you the red line changes between the parties, so you can actually see what it looks like in the contract. But I've, you know, parsed those out for you on page two of that first tab.
Excuse me, Serena, and the red is?
Red are the changes.
Are agreed to.
Those are agreed to, yes. And I've identified, yeah, and the only part, yeah. Yeah, those are all the changes that we've all agreed to. So I just want to identify.
And page one is the particulars of the impasse.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. And another thing, do you happen to have the salary schedule for the city employees on you? Do you have a copy of that?
I only have an electronic copy of it. I don't have a physical copy. But I believe it's probably in your personnel handbooks, right? Yes.
I would imagine it's an extensive copy. To copy it off?
No, it's not hard to get a copy.
You can't comment from the audience, please.
No.
This just can't happen.
I said before, no comments from the audience.
So would it be permissible to you if I ask for a copy of it?
Absolutely. So while Lee is making copies of that, I can start walking you through our last best offer. So at the top, it's our health and welfare. We have accepted the borough's proposal, which is that all represented employees will pay 15% of all insurance premiums, including themselves, family, dependents, spouses, etc. So everyone that is working for the city will all be on the same level playing field. They will be paying 15% of their insurance premiums. I just want to point out that by agreeing to do this, this amounts to a cost savings to the borough of over $200,000 over the term of the contract. I think that's a significant chunk of change, and the employees are willing to buy into the insurance coverage, which I will talk about later, is a stark contrast from where we've been the last 3 years. The second item is the wage table changes. So the parties have agreed that the starting wages at the borough are low and not comparable to what, or not competitive with other comparable communities. So in order to address that, we've agreed to eliminate the first six steps of the wage and the step and grade scales, the first six steps, and then add three steps to the end. And also, we've agreed that the subsequent steps added to the end will only be a 2% rate, whereas the first six steps are all at a 3% rate. So now it's only going to be a 2% rate difference between step one, step two, step three, step four, et cetera.
Do you have that? Was that in here somewhere?
No, I do not. It's the parties have both agreed to this.
Okay, so we don't need to see it. So you, okay.
We've come to an agreement on this part. This last sticking point, which we'll get to next, is the wages to make up for that. So we haven't exactly nailed down the exact language for the wage changes, but I've drafted up language there under 6.1.3 that I don't think the borough would object to. It's following, it's tracking exactly what we've agreed to on the table, which is to eliminate the bottom six, add three at the end, and every step will contain a 2% wage increase. So wages, that's where we're really why we're here tonight. You know, during the last 3 years, the borough management has really made clear that the most important part of a new collective bargaining agreement is that the employees pay for a portion of their insurance. This has been a huge sticking point between the parties, and the union has now agreed to meet the borough's demand. We're agreeing to pay 15% of the premiums, but we're not going to do it without a corresponding wage increase. It's just not feasible. It's not fair. The union's proposal for wages is just asking for a simple across-the-board $2.50 per hour per employee increase. This is designed to keep things in balance. It's to balance the cost of the insurance that the employees are now going to be experiencing, and so they don't experience a significant wage loss. Essentially, it makes the employees whole. I'd also like to highlight for the borough that the union is not seeking retro pay for employees, which is another huge savings to the borough. It's equivalent to almost $400,000 by not seeking retro pay. And I want to point out that, in my experience, when the union negotiates a contract after it's expired, retro pay is regularly given. And it's not a point of contention between parties. It's something that's assumed. But as an act of good faith, we're departing from that practice in order to save the borough more money. And we've agreed not to seek those back wages. This is another huge concession by the employees. So that's essentially the gist of our proposal. Like I said, I've included the summary of our TA changes, which are the parts that the parties do not disagree on. You know, changing, adding Local 1547 to the name of the union, minor things here and there, but it outlines it all for your review at a time. Next, I want to talk to you about the wages in Wrangell and other communities. First, the private sector in Wrangell. If you look at tab 5, and sorry for the tabs, I had to remove some things because we did make a change in our offer, so I pulled out those sheets, so there might be some tabs with missing, put nothing in there. That's intentional. I didn't have time to, while I was on the plane, to do a spreadsheet real quick. So if you look at tab 5, this is from BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, and it indicates on the middle of the page under the column annual wages per employee that since 2012 to 2015, the private sector has experienced a 12.5% increase in wages. But you might be saying to yourself, oh, well, that's the private sector, that's not public. So I'm going to point you to the school district. If you looked at tab 6, this is the recent salary schedule that's been approved by the school board. And in the red is my handwriting, so the percentages. The school board recently approved wage increases that range from 1% to 23%. And they also increased the differences between the steps from 2% to 3%. My understanding is the reasoning for this was that they wanted to make the jobs more competitive with the private sector and with other communities. And also I'd like to note on the second page, you'll see that employees under benefits only pay 2% of their insurance premiums. So the school district is covering 98% of their insurance premiums. During negotiations, there were discussions about comparable communities. And both the IDW and the borough agreed that Cordova was a similar community. So I just wanted to talk to you about the city of Cordova. Cordova has a similar wage and grade scale like the borough, where it has your wages and it's got step increases, and you get longevity step increases based on your anniversary date. However, Cordova's agreed to increase the base wages on a regular basis. In other words, they've included a COLA increase, which is your cost of living increase. Since 2011, the base wages in those steps have increased from a minimum of 12% to a maximum of 20%. And this doesn't include the annual step increases. And I have to point out that Cordova does not have the robust, unrestricted reserves like Wrangell does. I believe they only have $400,000 in their reserves. So finally, I want to talk to you about the non-bargaining unit employees of the borough and the wage increases that they've experienced. First, we're going to start with the salary of the borough manager. Since 2011, there's been an increase of 47.2% in turn to Tab 7. This identifies the salary plus retirement, and it notes where this information was taken from. It's taken from your adopted budgets from 2011 up to 2017. Did you guys know that the borough manager makes more money than the mayor of Anchorage? In 2015, the city of Anchorage agreed to increase the mayor's base salary. The base salary is $132,000 a year. In 2015, the base salary was $136,000 a year for the borough manager. Moreover, there's several non-bargaining unit employees who've gotten more than just the one-step longevity increase that they usually get on their anniversary date. For example, one employee has seen a 17% increase in wages since starting 3 years ago. That's a six-step increase in 3 years. Another employee just received a double-step increase this year. Another employee saw a three-step increase in 2013. And there's another employee that went up four steps in 2 years and received what was labeled a merit increase. In fact, several employees for the city and the borough receive what's been identified as COLA increases. So it's difficult to reconcile these increases for non-bargaining unit employees without giving a wage increase to the bargaining unit, especially when the bargaining unit has made several concessions regarding retro pay and regarding paying into their insurance. So in summary, I strongly encourage you guys to accept our proposal. I know you guys are going to think about it and give it lots of consideration. What we're essentially asking for is that the net wages don't go backwards. And I think that's fair. I think it's fair given the large concessions that we've made to reach an agreement. I also think that it's important to note that the employees are frustrated. The employees also feel undervalued. They feel undervalued when it's compared, their wages are compared to other communities, when they see other communities getting base wage increases, COLA increases, on top of their longevity pay. There's no question that these employees provide essential services to the community. They feel undervalued compared to other communities. They feel undervalued as compared to the wage increases that schools experienced. They feel undervalued as to the private sector. And they feel undervalued as compared to their coworkers that are not bargaining unit employees. And I can't say that I really blame them. They should be equally valued. The borough benefits from the union's proposal. We've conceded the insurance. Everyone's on the same playing field. We've agreed, again, not to do retro pay. All we're seeking is a modest increase in the wages to offset the cost of the insurance. We're looking forward to moving forward. We have a long-standing relationship with the city, the employees do. And that relationship is going to continue into the future. And we think that this is a first step on repairing that relationship and moving on and moving forward. Thank you for your time.
Any questions that we could ask?
Yeah, I think it's trying to understand. As I see it. I'm looking at your wage table changes. You want to eliminate the first six steps.
Yep.
And then have step seven be step one.
Yeah, and that essentially benefits all new hires. That is for the community, for Wrangell to draw in qualified candidates, because it pushes those wages, the starting wage rates up. So instead of step one, it would be step seven, which is your new step one.
Right. And then you want three additional steps added to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at a 2% increase over each step.
Yep. And that's the same as all the other steps between step 7 up to step 15. And we're adding three more, so it'll be step 18.
Okay.
Which would be the new step 15.
So then all the steps would be the 2%
exactly.
increase.
Yes, because under the current wage scale, the first six steps is at a 3% rate.
Okay. And then you want bargaining unit employees' wages to be increased in addition. $2.50 per hour, is that in addition to the step increase?
The step increases are only increases that they receive upon their anniversary date. If, I believe the language is if it is merited or warranted. I know there's been a couple people that have not received their longevity step increases based on performance. So it's not automatic. For most people it is. However, this would be, so that's their anniversary date. What we're asking for is taking what their wages are right now, at this moment, on July 1st, 2017, and adding $2.50 an hour to those wages. I mean, if you look at the schools, the public schools, they've received $4.17 as an increase. So if you look at the third page, that's the 2013 rates. The first page is your new 2017 rates. If you compare those, they've seen a $4.10 increase per hour, $4.17 per hour, $3.22 per hour, $3.84 per hour increase.
So by
and this is a similar thing where they get their longevity step increases similar to the borough employees on their anniversary dates, but it's increasing those base wages.
So by the reimbursement of the costs of the health care, you keep saying that was a concession. I don't see a concession there, because if we just pay back the employees for the money that they're now going to give us, I don't see really that. You said there was a $200,000 net gain to that.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from?
That's the cost of the borough saves by having the employees pay 15% of their premiums. So, I mean, what you're saying then is you're asking them all to take
a... No, just say, sorry, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm asking you is, mm-hmm. if I'm expected to pay $300 more, whatever, per month for my insurance, and the borough is going to give you $300 more a month for your insurance,
mm-hmm.
it's a net wash to the employee, correct?
That would be a net wash, yes.
Okay. So then I'm saying you painted that as a concession from the employee, and I'm seeing that as an accounting function.
Well, our offer from yesterday was not 15%.
But am I wrong on that, or is that?
No, that's what we're asking for. We're asking not to go backwards.
Right, fair enough. And then, so where does the $200,000, if we are just swapping cash, where does the $200,000 savings coming from?
It's a wash. And so that's where because you guys are saving this much money, and to prevent the employees from having to all take a significant cut in pay, is to replace that. It's been a point of contention. It's been an ask of the borough the entire time. They want everyone to be on the same playing field. They want everyone to pay the same percentage. And so in order to do that, we're saying, okay, if that's what's so important to you, then you need to increase our wages. I mean, our proposal all leading up to this has never been 15%.
Okay, so what I think I got there towards my question was the $200,000 is because now everybody's on the same playing field at 15.
Mm-hmm.
So then that would be really a savings of $200,000 from the non-union members. You said in your presentation that the borough was going to save $200,000 by doing this.
But yeah, now we're asking to get that money back because you guys are going to get the savings.
Okay, so we're not saving anything.
You're saving $400,000 by us not seeking retro pay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Go ahead and ask.
I'd like to know what the bottom line dollar impact of $2.50 per hour per employee is over the course of the next fiscal year. I don't know who else to ask, but you.
Do you want me to shut up the answer from my
I don't care.
You can come up there where it can be heard. I don't think she's going to hit you in the head if it's wider.
I haven't yet, so.
I don't know. Lee Burgess, 8.5 miles, Movia Highway. I don't know if I can answer that question as to what the cost would be in only the first year. I have done a little bit of work trying to evaluate the three-year cost of the proposal. So regarding the $2.50 per hour per employee increase, the total increase to wages alone, just from the $2.50 provision, would be $368,550.
That's over 3 years?
Over 3 years. If I remember your question correctly, you said just the $2.50. Okay, because when wages increase, benefits that are tied to those wages increase. And if you're asking that question, I can.
I want both, yeah.
Okay. The cost of benefits, which are tied to wages, which includes 22% for PERS, 6.13% for SPS, and kind of an averaged rate for workers' compensation of approximately 4%, give or take. The cost of those benefits associated with the $2.50 increase would be $154,881. But I have to, I guess, explain with a caveat that that benefit figure also includes estimated wage increases from a different provision that isn't the $2.50. It's the provision that modifies the wage and grade table. So with a caveat that benefit figure incorporates increases that are not just a result of the $2.50.
Is that over 3 years?
Yes.
Again? Okay.
If I may, another thing that is tied to the $2.50 wage increase is the vacation liability. That increases as wages do because the liability is tied to whatever the base wage is. And so the cost associated with that would be
$9,035
in my estimate.
Thank you.
So one of the unique things for me with this presentation is that this presentation, although was the presentation that you put your last and best offer, but it was surrounded with a lot of additional information. And so my question is there a chance for us to hear the city side of that information? Because I understand that there would be two sides to that. Or is that not a part of what we can do? Because I sort of got the offer, but I got a lot of supporting information that I'm sure there is some counterpoints to in the making of this decision.
Let me try to address it this way. Of course, starting with, if it's a factual question, then we can answer that. And it would probably be better just to ask what that information is, and it's possible that either myself or Lee or Jeff don't know that information too. But I think the starting point would be if there's something there that you want to know or want to verify, or that's a fact that Ms. Green was talking about, then I think let's hear the question and we'll do our best to address it.
Well, one question I guess I would have that I can probably make factual is, my understanding is that our non-union employees are also tied to what we do with the union employees. Would that be correct? That the scales are kept similar, or so if the fire department the fire department person is on a step, it's equivalent to the steps of the union people. Is that true or not true?
I I'm not sure we can answer that. Probably we'd have to go back to the personnel policy and see how that works.
The reason why I'm asking that is I'm wondering about the impact of making this change to our steps on a citywide basis. We understand what it would be for our union employees, but as I try to look at sort of a global effect to the city.
Can I just talk to Jeff?
Yeah, for sure.
Proposal does not affect the other employees necessarily, thank you. One way or the other.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
Could I piggyback?
Becky has a question first.
Well, go ahead. If you're on this same train of thought, it's fine. Mine's totally different.
I was going to ask the same question. So there are two pay plans, two salary schedules. So in our hands, we have the union pay plan, and then there is a non-union pay plan. A salary schedule, correct? And this change would only impact the union salary schedule. Is that correct?
Correct.
Go ahead, Becky.
Well, my question, of course, has to do with something on page...
Which tab are you on?
Tab one.
Oh, okay.
And I was just confused by the ordinance that I read, and it all has to do with the health insurance plan in a company, in a health reimbursement arrangement, and that has changed from the ordinance. And I guess maybe this is a legal question in that I don't know if we have to change our ordinance.
I think it's something for you to discuss with Mr. Blasco in executive session about
it's regulation.
Making changes to the resolution. But there has been, my understanding, I just received an email last Friday, that there had been a change from the insurance company and they are no longer offering the wellness reimbursement to political subdivisions.
And just on June the 2nd, sometime in the afternoon, I think it was on June the 2nd, Borough received notification that Premera is not going to offer the wellness program to entities in Alaska.
So 90%?
Then at some point, we do, yes, you're right. At some point, we do have to revisit that resolution because part of it is not applicable to the current plan. And the information that we had was that's the way it's going to be for the foreseeable.
Which would be appropriate to do that after the negotiations are completed.
We
don't want to change the resolution, then we change it again.
That is a decision for the assembly, but also, as you can see from the proposal, that's the wellness program is not part of the union's proposal to accept the other part of the personnel policy, basically. And just, you probably have seen it or... But to clarify or help with it, the language that's in that first part of that proposal about the healthcare is basically the same language as the personnel manual, other than it doesn't have the wellness program that doesn't exist.
Yeah, so prior to this last week, we had a much different offer on the table that incorporated the wellness program. But then because it was no longer available, we were made aware last Friday, we revised our proposal
and the management and the IBW have been in
negotiations up until
10
o'clock this morning.
Any further questions, comments?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Item 5B, executive session, discussed with the borough attorney the collective bargaining agreement between the city and borough of Wrangell and the International Brotherhood of electrical workers.
I move that pursuant to AS 44.62.310(c)(1) that we recess into executive session, discuss matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, specifically discussions and consideration of the proposal from IBEW 1547 for a new collective bargaining agreement.
Could I offer me to include the borough attorney?
To include the borough attorney.
We will discuss the borough attorney.
Second.
I just want to know if you need me to be here afterwards, or if we are excused, or...
Well, we have no idea at this point until we discuss it with the borough attorney.
Okay. I would think sticking around would be prudent.
I believe it would, yes. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Assemblymember Skelbert?
Yes.
Persunka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. We will recess into executive session at 7:21 p.m.